How does a person learn to walk by the Spirit? This is Carl Kosar from Wall-to-Wall University School of Theology. Welcome to Good Word, our weekly radio program that explores biblical and theological topics that are central to our Christian faith. Today we continue in our series of Bible lessons based on Paul's letter to the Galatians. And to help us explore this important subject, once again I've invited two of my colleagues to join me in the discussion, Dr. Paul Dibdahl, Dr. Dave Thomas, who are both professors here in the School of Theology at Walla Walla University. Gentlemen, today we come down to the issue of walking in the Spirit. Probably one of the most famous passages in the book of Galatians that people recognize, and that is the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, etc. So today, as we look at this passage, we are really kind of struck, I think, by the fact that Paul does something here that really is very different. For in the Old Testament, we frequently find calls to people who are called to walk in the law. Yet here the Apostle Paul talks about walking in the Spirit. Why would Paul exchange the law for the Spirit here? Any thoughts or reactions to that? Is he opposed to the law?
I think we've, in previous weeks, have at least tried to establish that he is not at all opposed to the law, but rather it's a certain attitude toward the law, mm-hmm. which sees it as the avenue through which one gains favor with God, through which one can be saved.
And once again, I think he's not so much fighting against the Old Testament, but has the perception of it. And I think we do know from this time period that there were many Jews who had mistakenly come to believe that by studying God's law alone, that somehow sin could be overcome. But I think anyone who's lived life knows that rules themselves are not sufficient to give you the power to do what's right.
Yeah, but I also think that there's a dynamic of the Holy Spirit that is absent from looking at the law. I believe that the Holy Spirit operates at the intersection between our thought processes and mm-hmm. our belief. Mm-hmm. I think we have belief grids. We have grids of beliefs that we've assembled. And as we go through life, when opportunities or challenges or difficulties come, we consult those belief grids and we make our decisions, sometimes in a very short period of time. And I think the Holy Spirit and our sense of conscience operate right at that intersection. So to talk about walking in the Spirit, in my mind, is to leave open the possibility that as you go along through life and you face decisions and circumstances, that you're asking the Spirit of God to be active at your point of decision making and planning to help guide you in a godly way. Mm-hmm. So, the law is always in retrospect, I think. Well, not always, but you're always thinking, have I met this? Have I done that? Whereas walking in the Spirit, you're saying, I want to be what God wants me to be. Yes. I want to live actively as a believer. And so in my progression through the day, be influencing me, Spirit of God, as to which way, what I should decide. So I think there's a very different dynamic. Walking in the Spirit is very alive, whereas trying to maintain the law is alive in a sense, but it seems to focus more in retrospect than in prospect.
And that really highlights the issue I think Paul's confronting here too, because he talks about here, he says, I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Mm-hmm. This word desire really is a key word in antiquity, because there were many philosophical schools who talked about the problem of desire. Mm-hmm. How do you deal with it? Whether we look at Stoicism, Epicureans, Cynics, all of them had great moral theories, but in the end, all of them boiled down to what you simply had to know about life. And if you would know these facts, then you could fix your response to them so you wouldn't cave into desire. But what the Apostle Paul does here is he says, no, that knowledge in and of itself is never sufficient to counter desire. Yeah. The only thing that's sufficient is the power of the Spirit. Why? Because sin is not simply just an outward action, but sin is a cosmic force, we could even say, a presence that lives within us. And that presence can only be overcome by the power of God's Spirit, not by simply human knowledge. And I think Paul here is reacting against that, which makes his really words, I think, come alive here to his original audience.
Yeah, I'm intrigued by what you say, because at one place Paul says, do not let sin reign mm-hmm. over you. And so, you know, it appears to me that sin is not just the absence of good. Mm-hmm. There's something dynamic about mm-hmm. it.
Yeah, I like to say with my students that, You can think of it as King Sin. And King Sin, you know, will still be present in your life, but it doesn't have to reign. Paul says, don't let sin reign. We'll still have struggles in this world until Jesus comes and we get a new body, but sin does not have to be the controlling, dominant force in our lives. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And to me, that's the good news of Christianity. Yeah. The good news is not simply that I've been forgiven. Praise God I have. Right. But praise God that I don't have to continue in the muck and the gutter of sin by yeah. God's grace.
Yeah, but I also like the point you made that the Holy Spirit is an empowering agent, that the Holy Spirit changes people's inner dimension and even softens certain desires so that they don't drive you anymore, mm-hmm. whereas just gritting your teeth or trying to be a legalist doesn't provide that to you.
I like it too, because he says, walk by the Spirit and you will not gratify that. I mean, this is not like, yeah. and you may not.
Yeah, yeah.
And try not to. It's just walk by the Spirit yeah. and you will.
There's
not.
A promise here, yeah. and that promise, yeah. I think, is encouraging.
Yeah. And by the way, Carl, you may not have thought included this here, but what does a Spirit-filled church look like then? See? That I would argue a Spirit-filled church or a religious community that's Spirit-filled exhibits the
fruit of the Spirit.
Fruit of the Spirit. The gifts of the Spirit are another question, but mm-hmm. if you want to see a community that's walking in the mm-hmm. Spirit, you will find there's love and there's joy and there's peace and there's patience. Those are the things that are growing there in that community.
And Paul will get to this too in his next chapter too, because he ties this immediately to his description of the church. So the two are mm-hmm. very much interrelated. Now, what do you think about this? Is the presence of conflict in the life of a believer, a struggle against our sinful desires, is that a positive or a negative sign?
I was thinking of this in connection with what we talked about last week, freedom. Mm-hmm. We were emphasizing freedom, yeah. freedom. And now we're talking about struggle. And it yeah. sounds as if struggle is to be expected.
Yeah.
And I would say not even necessarily a negative, sign.
See, I find the militaristic metaphor somewhat helpful here, is that when you become a follower of Christ, you in essence change armies, and the one side will consider you a new recruit, yes. the other one will consider you a traitor. And so to think that you can live in this world as a Christian without struggle, I think is ludicrous.
Well, and I think that's the danger, because many people, I think, interpret struggle as a sign that they're simply not reaching a high enough level. And I think that's a danger, because the problem is that the struggle is part of our human nature. Mm-hmm. And even we had desert fathers who'd go out and live in the desert yeah. trying to escape their struggle. But the problem is, everywhere you go, there you are.
Yeah, yeah, because you bring the struggle with you. Yeah.
And it's not just internal struggle, but external trouble and trial. Mm-hmm. Some people will say, yeah. well, I must not be living right, or God must not be happy yeah. with me. Because of those troubles, yeah. and that's not the case yeah. at all.
And see, I think the real question is not do you struggle. Most of us struggle and fall down. The question is not do you struggle, but do you get up
yeah.
afterwards?
You know, I have a favorite hymn. It's by Robert Robinson, which is "Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing."
Yeah.
And powerful, he says, you know, "Oh, to grace how great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy goodness like a fetter bind my wandering heart to thee." Mm. Then the next stanza goes, "Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it.
Yeah.
Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, O take and seal it for thy courts above." What I find interesting here is he brings this issue up of this struggle we have to wander. Mm. It's interesting to see that some Christians in his time did not like his song. We know that because they changed it in some editions of the hymn book. They changed it to say, "Prone to love thee, Lord, I feel it. Prone to serve the God I love." They didn't like this idea of prone to wander.
Yeah.
Prone to leave. Yeah. But I like his original one because it grapples with real life.
Because it's true.
It's
yeah.
true. The struggles and challenges we face.
And I would like to think, though, that as we progress in our Christian lives, that the struggles will get of some things will become a lot smaller. Well, there will always be some struggle, but I mean, I think of John, the beloved, who at age 90 has seen all there is to see.
Mm.
I doubt his struggle there is of the same kind as it was when he was a hothead who just became a follower of Jesus. There was a growth in his development.
So.
And yeah.
That's a positive sign, too.
Yeah.
I like here because, you know, Paul uses the metaphor again of walking with the Spirit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But he does several here. He actually talks about walking in the Spirit. He talks about in verse 18 to be led by the Spirit,
yeah.
or verse 25, to live by the Spirit, or even in verse 24, one that often surprises our students, he says that we should crucify the flesh with its passions and desires. maybe think of a monk beating themselves here.
Yeah.
But I think of this, I think that Paul is just showing that the type of break that God wants to have in our lives is one that's like life and death. And if we allow the Spirit to work in our lives, he can bring us that freedom and peace that nothing else can.
It's not shining us up. It's becoming new again. It's becoming a new creature.
And very powerful. Just the words.
So no polishing halos, huh?
I like it too that it's the works of the flesh. So, I mean, the flesh does, which becomes evil, but it's the fruit of the Spirit, which tells me this is not something that I produce or try hard enough, but God produces in our lives.
Yeah.
Gentlemen, thank you again. Our time has come to a close. You know, the battle between the flesh and the Spirit is an ongoing reality that demands our continual vigilance if we want to be faithful to Christ. We cannot rest on our past spiritual laurels, nor can we rely upon the spiritual experience of others. We must have our own new experience day by day. If we don't, our lives will slowly begin to look like an untended garden. It may flourish for a time, but the longer it's left untended, the more entrenched the weeds become, and the flowers and vegetables begin to wither and die. By God's grace, may that never be the reality of our spiritual lives. Instead, may we ever be captivated by God's marvelous love and be filled with His Spirit, given through His life-giving Spirit. As we continue to consider Paul's letter to the Galatians this quarter, we have a very special offer to you, our listeners. It's a brand new book I've written especially for this study. It's called Galatians, A Fiery Response to a Struggling Church. Each chapter is full of spiritual insights and stories that really help to explain Paul's letter in more detail than we can hear in our radio broadcast. And it also seeks to show the relevance it has for our lives today. This week's chapter is entitled Living by the Spirit. We'll be glad to send you a copy this week. We're simply asking for a donation of $20 or more when you request this insightful book. I'm sure you'll find it well worth it, and your gift will help support the radio ministry of Good Word. To request your copy of Galatians, A Fiery Response to a Struggling Church, call us this week at 509-527-2194. The number again is 509-527-2194, or simply go online to wallawalla.edu/goodword. Or, in fact, send us an email at goodword@wallawalla.edu. We do ask for a donation of $20 when you request Galatians, A Fiery Response to a Struggling Church. Remember also that our past and present programs are available to download or for listening online. You can learn more about that at our webpage, wallawalla.edu/goodword. Thank you again for listening to today's program, and please join us again next week as we continue to explore Galatians and the difference God wants it to make in our lives. Until then, for Good Word, I'm Carl Kosar.
You've been listening to Good Word, a production of the School of Theology at Walla Walla University and KGTS-FM. To order a copy of today's broadcast, you can call 509-527-2194. Thanks for listening, and we'll be here next week at this time with Good Word.